all been a pack of lies. And I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh Lord,
of the Most High. Yeah. Oh. Oh boy. I tell you, just when you think the dirty tricks can't get any dirtier, they get dirtier. You know? And my God, what Lindsey Graham, warmonger Lindsey and warmonger John McCain out there pushing Obama to get tough with these sanctions against Russia that did not do the hacking on the Podesta emails or the DNC hack. It was insider information on that. And people paid already for that. Seth Rich, etc. There is no proof. No one ever offered proof, whatever. But they're going to go ahead and punish Russia anyway. What they're really trying to do is start World War III desperately before Trump can get in there and wreck the New World Order. John McCain was just on television saying, we've had a New World Order for the last 70 years that's been very peaceful and has run along just fine. And we don't need it interrupted now by Russia. In other words, Russia is interrupting the New World Order. And that's the complaint that John McCain has. Look, you people, if there's anybody listening, you have to stop these maniacs or you're all going to be nuked and all your children dead and you dead. It doesn't matter anymore. Do you understand? You have got to deal with these people. You cannot allow them to speak on the public airwaves at all. Or you're going to wind up in the dust heap of history along with the rest of their so-called New World Order, which will be also completely destroyed. Now, McCain called it the New World Order. No, he called it the New World Order. He said, we've had the New World Order for the last 70 years. Regardless. Look, here's the point. I am telling you, there is no proof. They don't want Putin because he's not joining the New World Order. He's criticizing the thing you can't criticize, the pedophilia, which is the whole point of Western culture. That's the whole point of the United States, is to be a pedophile. Do you understand that? And because that was breached with the Podesta emails, they want to go to World War III. Do you understand that? Any other topic, they wouldn't have dealt with. It wasn't that that swayed it in favor of Trump. That's not it either. It's the fact that they exposed those emails. The only way to keep them suppressed, people, is to talk about sanctions on Russia for hacking rather than the content of the emails themselves. Do you comprehend? Please, please, mass majority of people, please wake up. Or you won't be here. Please, please stop this. You know, if we don't deal with the situation, we're basically screwed. The fact that the New World Order is based on pedophilia and child trafficking, okay? That's what the United States is based on. That's what the whole thing is based on, as shown by their reaction to it when it was just tangentially exposed. They went insane with the fake news. Don't you remember the fake news and all this stuff? It all stemmed from Pizzagate. Everything came from Pizzagate. Most important story of the entire last five millennia. It had the power to move all this craziness. All that one release, that one tranche. Oh, that's the one thing you can't talk about. Pedophilia, human trafficking, and child porn, child snuff films. I suppose that's what it really is, right? Well, whatever the hell it is. I'm very glad I'm not anywhere part of their sick Bohemian Grove pedophile system, you know? But I can tell you this, these people have no right to keep trying to run the United States from a shadow government perspective, a hiding post. They need to be exposed to the light. They're fake news people that they're surrogates that keep them propped up, need to be put out of business and with extreme prejudice. Do you understand that? Meaning hostility on social networks, meaning not accepting this whole fake news thing. Zuckerberg came up with fake news because he is a pedophile enabler, obviously. Since that's the only topic we're talking about. Since that's why they're mad at the Russians. And what did Putin do today? He came out and he spoke against the West trying to normalize pedophilia, which then prompted Graham and McCain to get out there and say, we're going to beat the crap out of you for saying that. Again, the most important issue there is. There is no more important issue than protecting our children. This is the most important issue there is. This is the most child sex trafficking and pedophilia and all that stuff is the most important issue there is. We will grant no quarter to this. The society that does that goes the way of Rome. I mean, it's over. And this time it would be nuclear. You do not do that unless you want to curse yourself. Same thing with Israel. Israel is there, and Israel's going to be there. The people that are getting all pissed off at the Jews, you know, you're incorrect. You were incorrect then. You'll be incorrect now. You're incorrect. You're in the wrong side of history. But I, you know, I'm going to let you discover that on your own. I'm not down on you. I'm just saying it's a, that dog won't hunt. The basic fact of the matter is Israel's going to be there. You know, and you go 1948 Rothschild Israel. It doesn't matter what it is. Just like Trump. People refuse to believe that Trump is God ordained. And it's like, well, how many trials does this guy have to go through before you believe he has an anointing? How much does he have to do before he'll be considered respect-worthy? Unfreaking believable. You know, if Moses was around, you'd all be dead right now. By you all, I mean, you know, you of little faith. Right? You'd already be out with a golden calf. This whole peace process that's coming out with Kerry is already been gutted. It's already been attacked. Obama's already been busted colluding with the Palestinians. And, which, by the way, Palestinian refugees, there's no country on earth that takes Palestinians. Not Iran, not Jordan, not Saudi Arabia, nobody. Well, parents, please don't have your children study world history, because they'll find out what perverts and liars our leaders are. And that would be bad for them to see that all leaders are disgusting and should not be followed or aspired to. Wouldn't that be awful if our children found that out? That you wouldn't want to have any of these people speaking at their school? And actually, the ones that would be acceptable are publicly denounced because they're not New World Order friendly. Yeah, well, that'll be Putin, Trump, and anybody else that fails to go along with the pedophile networking of the whole globe in the name of pedophile, in the name of pedophile, in the name of pedosexual and pedo-murdering, and pedo-murdering and pedosexual, and pedo-murdering and pedo-pedo, and pedo-this and pedo-that. They buried Pizzagate because the people on top of it, they were overwhelmed and they were shoved down the ladder by Jeff Bezos and, you know, the New York Times and Politico and whatever, Salon and the rest of them pushed all their stories to the bottom. So they, all of a sudden, they had no tweets, retweets, or likes. All their videos got shoved down to the bottom. All the traffic about it all went out the window, and the public finally accepted there is no there there. That was just all fake news. No. Don't put me in a world like this. Don't put me in a world where the obvious truth is lied about and then people go, uh-huh. Do not put me here, Lord. This is not my world. I don't belong here. Where lies and abuse of children is what the economy of the day. Please do not do that to me. I don't want to be in a world run by these scumbags like Lindsey Graham. I don't want to be around all this. I prefer to just be having pure thoughts about pure things, and yes is yes and no is no. This whole thing of deception and all these lying people, my God, you can't. Oh, so-and-so from the UN is going to be speaking at your school. Are your children going to be there to listen to the words of wisdom from the UN Security Council leader of whatever, the ambassador to the UN for the United States? Oh, boy, I can't wait to have my kids hear that. Lindsey Graham is going to be speaking at the commencement of your kids' high school. Aren't you glad they're going to be there all dressed up and then bowing down to Lindsey Graham? Aren't you happy about that, parents? How about this? If you say anything about these people, you're a social pariah because an unhinged and obviously a white supremacist. The most racist president in the history of this country, or even possibly the world, is his name is Barack Obama. He is a racist. And an elitist snob. Anyway, I got to put all this in God's hands because it's too big for me. What can I do? That David Seaman was on the point on Pizzagate. What happened to him? What happened to Seaman? Is he still out there?
Yeah, but he's focusing on.
He's
focusing on Bitcoin and gold and.
That's right. Seaman got blown out, along with Pettibone Sisters and the rest of them. They all got blown out. What happened is their tweets and their videos got shoved down all the way down. These people mean business. They took that topic, and even Alex Jones backed off of it.
Not really.
Well, but, you know, where is it in the InfoWars, people? It's nowhere. Anyway, it's just what I said would happen, right? Remember Hampstead. It's because all of your leaders. No, it's because, except for a few of you. No, it's because there are so many. No, that's not it. It's because in order to have a ticket to the world, you have to give consent to it. What would that make you? Oh, my God. Worse than a human monster. And yet these people are the biggest philanthropists you'll ever see. So this must be the low spark of high-heeled boys, eh? Sellout Wynwood, huh? Nice guy. Thanks a lot. Don't think he isn't talking about bowing down to the whole system. All these rock stars are. Oh, come to my place for dinner. I mean, you know, you're such a great person. I can't wait to have you. It's amazing I even survived as a musician. You know, given all the disappointment in these people. I'm surrounded by these people, all of whom everyone looks up to with their Grammys and whatnot. And all it is for me is sorrow upon sorrow upon sorrow. It's amazing I even kept going. I mean, that would crush most people's spirit. They'd never want to do it again. Okay, at the risk of getting too negative, as I sometimes do. I know some of you really thrive on that. Well, gosh, man. Anyway, Pizzagate is gone, as predicted. The Russians are about to get their sanctions put on them because of not going along with the New World Order, as John McCain accused them of. Jew-hater, anti-Semite Barack Obama conspires with the Palestinians to roll Israel into the so-called two-state peace solution. That will never happen. At the last minute, trying for legacy, vowing to get tough with Russia. Well, yes, a nuclear war right now would prevent Trump from getting in there and ruining his great legacy. Do you realize what that makes Obama? What kind of person? What do you? You're not dealing with personhood the way you think of it. You're dealing with someone that's 100,000% against every human being there is. Everything a human would hold dear, every normal thing there would be, he's against it. For the complete destruction of all humanity, he's for it. I've told you this from the beginning. That's the way he's made up. Now there's evidence coming out that those are not, you know, are circumstantial. But, I mean, people really digging into the fact that those are not his kids. I said that I thought that one of them was Sasha was a kid. But now I'm realizing if I've seen the other proposed father, she looks more like him than Obama. So I'm looking at that and I'm going, oh, my God. Look at what a joke they turned the United States into. Of course, we deserved it because we kicked God out of here. When God's gone, there's no moral compass anymore. Everybody just does what they want. They do they want to liberate every single thing there is to do that which is against God all day long, even though they curse themselves and even though they're going to be dying very soon, by the way. En masse. One Satan, two missile. Let me just go over the facts with you one more time. Okay. If Obama is successful in doing what he wants to do before Trump gets in there, we will have a nuclear war that will destroy everything on Earth. One Satan, two missile will destroy an area the size of Texas. But Russia has hundreds, maybe thousands of them. Do the math before you start, you know, putting sanctions on people. They don't care about people, that's why. Why do you keep reelecting them then? How can people in South Carolina keep electing Lindsey Graham to the Senate or John McCain in Arizona? How does that happen? if you value your children, you wouldn't do it. Right? You would value your children. Would you like them to speak at your school commencement festivities? And what has your child learned in his 4 years of high school or 3 years or whatever it is? Are you sufficiently satisfied that your child knows quite a bit of stuff now that he didn't know before and he's ready to tackle the world? Or has he become an infantile, vapid, retarded fool? Good and compliant, Your Honor. Ready to do knee time anytime it's proposed. Just give in, give up, and get with it. There's your social conformity for you. So, of course, we'd be honored to have all these people here to speak at the school. George Bush, we have Lindsey Graham, any other neocon warmongers, Barack Obama and all the rest of them, pining for World War III, begging for World War III, wanting to kill all your children and all of you. Because they're going to be safe in their bunkers. What do they care about you for? They don't. They never did. Because when you're on the wrong side of things, you don't care about other people when you go psycho. You don't care. Being a psychopath means you no longer have empathy for your fellow man. Remember that Kevin Annette guy who was trying to shut down the pedophile child murdering rings? He got blown out. Every single time it's been blown out. In fact, now, though, it got so close. Has anyone even asked about, Domino's on pizza, all the lingo that was in those emails? Does anybody care about the content of the emails that were leaked? No. Hillary deserved to win. Trump won illegally because the Russians hacked it for Trump. People that are on Hillary's side should no longer pay taxes. We need a civil war in this country. I'm telling you, and 100% illegitimacy on top of it, that the people doing all this are illegitimate as humans. They're illegitimate, meaning everything they base their entire life on is a lie. All these things they want to riot about are lies. They're illegitimate because they lie. That's why I laugh at social justice warriors. If I could, I'd just backhand them as I walk by. They deserve maximum derision wherever they are found. All right, put that down. Okay, so, so what do we do given all this? All right. Somehow, supernaturally, this is what I think is going to happen. All this stuff, it's just like an array of obstacles that came up before, remember? All the bimbos or all the whatever they were throwing. This is all about one thing only. Stopping Donald Trump from assuming the presidency with full power. Because he represents the end of the New World Order. Some people are telling me, no, he is the New World Order. Well, he's not this New World Order. There's a couple New World Orders, but he's not part of this one. So the bottom line is, here we go again with all this stuff, trying to diminish power, really take power away so that he's hamstrung the day he enters in. And the Dems are willing to go to World War III as a civil war because they're illegitimate. Half the Republicans, too, are illegitimate, meaning they base their entire lives on lies. Everything they do, every breath they take is based on lies. That's what I mean by an illegitimate person. Someone that's breathing, eating, crapping, based on a lie. I would say fornicating, but I don't want to insult fornication. Because what they do is not fornicate. I mean, if watching people die gets you off, then you have a serious problem, right? So let's not insult fornication by adding them to it. Thank you. Okay. Trish, have I stated it too strongly?
Nope.
I can feel it. Yeah, I like that song at the beginning because it reminds me of Betrayal, right? Whatever Phil Collins was writing in that song, and I just did my own dubbed out version. Some people have really remarked that I did some production imitation. I did. I did some imitating things of, you know, that are kind of high level production things. But it was basically dubbiness. That's what I was doing there. And just taking, you know, it's a real easy song. I mean, if you look at the chord chart or whatever, there's really nothing to it. So most of the good, you know, the memorable songs. I remember that song when they played it on Miami Vice. Remember Miami Vice? And so long ago. And it still sounded today. It still had a kind of a, it still sounded good to me. You know, it did not sound dated at all. Of course, with the dub treatment, it's kind of timeless. But, that's like Jeff Beck, right? Same 1976. Yeah, that was what was the name of that record? It was a fusion, jazz fusion record of Jeff Beck. He went from rock into kind of a jazz thing then. So long ago. But if you heard that record today, it would be like no time's passed. And that's what I like about good music. It just has a timeless quality. You know, so many film scores I like. Even, you know, I used to love the iconic... we went to this guy's birthday party, this composer. What was his name? Oh, man. Never mind. He did the score for Total Recall and some others, but it had a had that iconic, timeless quality to it. And now I suppose the film composers that are up to date, in my view, would be people like, not Hans Zimmer, because he's so obvious, and he has these obvious orchestral pieces that I don't like. You know, I like unusual... you know, when Stuart Copeland of The Police went into doing film scores, I thought he did a terrific job. He was a pretty good piano player, great drummer, great, you know, arranger, great, you know, great composing ideas. Had some wonderful scores. I listened to them over and over again. And then lately, you know, is the Atticus Ross and Trent Reznor and some people like that with their scores. I've enjoyed those, but I've kind of fallen behind now. I'm going to have to catch up. Well, I particularly, I like what a film score does to my mind. Well, I go on a little journey with it. You know, maybe not the same storyline as the film, but if I like the film and then have the film score, then I go on a kind of a similar journey. And it provides a stimulation that is more than a 3-minute record, a 4-minute record. But on the other hand, I can do the same thing by turning on my own music, having it play through one after the other. And they do all seem related. So you can go like an hour with that too. And that takes me somewhere. I need to do some more longer pieces. I added, you'll be happy to know. I'm still working on that track from yesterday. I can't work on it today because today I got to move. But I added, I have my guitar with me, so I've added a guitar part to it. Some lead. I'm totally psychedelic in my leads, you know? But I must say that, you know, having, when you need a lead part and you have a Les Paul, which I do, with me, you know, I have to say that there is no other guitar that will give that exact sound. And I was very happy with it. I did some stupid things, made a lot of noise. I kind of, you know, play the guitar like everything else, like drums. So it's, you know, it gives it an interesting quality. Plus, I like a lot of feedback and stuff. So I've got that going. And so I added that to it. And then and then basically changed the words. I went ahead and recited a whole new thing. And so DEP, it's called D-E-P, whatever that means. And I think it's coming along. But what you've seen, if I could have played it today, I would have. You would have seen the evolution of a track going from an idea to something very raw and rough and unacceptable and kind of irritating, and then becoming refined over time. See, this is how we do it. You refine these things over time. Eventually, it comes out with a nice luster, you know, but you have to, a lot of people, they just do a pass or two, or they get an idea, they kind of polish up the roughness, and they never really bring the piece to fruition. Sometimes you have to go, wait a second, I need violins right there, or I need a guitar right there. Okay, do I have, okay, grab the guitar, and then lay down the guitar part, you know what I mean, and then start mixing that together and see what that does. You know, in other words, not being satisfied so easily with a piece of music, but realizing that it's got nothing to do with you, whether you're tired or not. It has to do with what the piece needs, what it's calling for. And the guy that's going to come up with it, the best track, is going to be the guy that is patient in that process. You know, that like I had to pick up the mic and do a whole new words on it. And so it's evolved from stages. That you're going to hear it next time. Maybe tomorrow, maybe later today, you'll hear it as it has evolved to the next level. And mind you, this is all being done on a laptop, but with a 4 terabyte hard drive outside, using Pro Tools, and that's basically it. And it's really kind of holding its own in terms of volume, punch, and all that other stuff. So we'll see where it goes. But yeah, no, I had a piece mastered that I could play. I played it on the show. Not satisfied because the piece, it needs something. So now kind of being open to giving it what it needs. If I had zipped it up and locked it up, it would be fine. It would sound okay, but it would not be a memorable track, because a memorable track is one where all the work's been done, where you feed the piece what it wants. You're available, right? You don't impose on it. It takes from you. And that is how you win. When you say, oh, well, this is all I'm prepared to do, and that's it, you might have a journey half realized, which is what most tracks I hear on SoundCloud. A lot of them are like, they got a good idea, a good hook, a good something or other going for them, but then they don't tend to have legs. And the reason why is because you have to be available to A, throw the whole thing out and start over again, B, to give it other things it might need, C, to rethink some certain kinds of parts. Think like an arranger. Think in terms of sections. One section might be weak and the other one's strong, so you've got to deal with that section. And, to the extent that you will have the stamina to hold up through that process of, you know, killing the stuff that needs to be killed, amplifying the stuff that needs to be amplified, adding the things that need to be added, to the extent that you can hold up through that process, you will be successful. But I think it's a mistake to say, oh, well, that's all I'm prepared to do with this piece, it's fine. Or, yeah, I've done the usual stuff I do, it's fine. I think you have to go, what's wrong? Why is it not? It's fine, it's good, I like, but it's something's not quite, you know, like I did yesterday. Sounded okay, you know, it sounded edgy and kind of punchy and kind of weird, but, you know, there's something missing. It occurred to me later after hearing, obviously, and then going back. See, it's to the extent that you'll go back and you'll keep, that's the difference between, you know, the pro and the amateur, right? You know, you're there to give the piece what it needs, no matter if it is inconvenient for you or it's taxing on you or it's you know what I mean? You hear it a week later that you don't like it, then it's incumbent upon you to go back. Now, some pieces I don't care about. In other words, I'm going to leave them because I want to do something else. That's fine as long as you realize that it is not a realized piece. It's not going to be as good as your other pieces. You know, you have it. There's a certain thing you did with it. You're happy with it to a certain extent, but you're not so motivated that you really want to go back in, and so you're going to let it be somewhat average, let's say, compared to other things you might do. And that's fine. You can even delete it. I just say kill your children, you know. You can even delete it. But to the extent that you can go back and you know, eliminate stuff and augment stuff, you know, even when you're bleary-eyed, sometimes you need to just be patient, you know, and wait it out. To the extent that you do everything in a very facile way, meaning you're not really listening and you're not really, you know, you got to be sensitive. Oh, something bothers me here. It's not quite, you know, it's okay, but it's not, you have to be honest in that regard. How are you feeling about it? And you'd like to say, oh, it's good, it's great. Go into denial. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. So that you can zip it up and be done with it, because it's painful to be in there because it's draining of your energy, right? To the extent that you can hang in, give it that extra whatever it needs, is the extent that you will be successful in. I'm not saying with any industry out there, because that's all based on schmoozing. You know, meaning nodding and winking. So, you know, unless you're willing to do that, you're not going to be dealt with by the industry. So then it comes down to satisfying yourself as an artist. And, you know, the best artists are just never really satisfied. That's all. You quit. Everyone that says they quit on something, whether it be a painting or a piece of music or whatever it is they're working on, a screenplay, anything, they're never done with it. They feel it's not finished, but they have to stop. And that's the other thing. Even when you get done, there still may not be complete satisfaction, but you've gone through enough of the refining process that you've gone beyond the average ears out there that can hear stuff. So they will be pleased with it, but you still may not be completely. But then there's that knowing when to quit, when you keep pushing it, diminishing returns, where you finally start ruining your piece. I've done plenty of that. I've done everything wrong you could do, so I'm the expert in what not to do. And what not to do is be satisfied, obviously, to not really work on, you know, when you could say, well, I could kind of hear a little chorus behind that, or I could hear kind of a bass lick right there, or I could hear some, you know, some synth or violin right over here, or I could hear some background vocals over there, and then you don't do it, is the extent that it doesn't get polished, and to the extent that people won't take it seriously. Unless you're like me, where, you know, where I played guitar yesterday, I was kind of amazed that I was in a tight spot and I played, but how I was assaulting the guitar was really kind of, and how much I enjoyed the tone of the guitar and the sustain of the guitar. Yeah, I was, you know, again, it's that solid wood body of the Gibson. It's, a lot of people say it's very heavy. It's heavy because it's solid wood, and it really resonates, and it really sustains a note. It has a thick tone with these humbucker split coil pickups. And, you know, gosh, it's hard to argue with success. And, you know, it's, I have other guitars, but I mean, that one is the one I wanted. And that one gives a smooth sound, a big, thick sound. And very pleasant on the ears. People like it. It's become an icon of the industry for that reason. Okay, so back to serious. Okay, I've taken a little break here. So back to one. So anyway, they're doing everything they can do. I didn't do that.
I just cleaned it yesterday.
Dasha did that. I've done everything I could do to kind of put it out there about, you know, the all the different aspects that are coming. But again, I have to say this. I give it to the Lord in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord, the One. I give it to you, Lord. I give all the pain and angst of Trump to you. I had 3 Trump dreams last night, ladies and gentlemen, and I should give them to you. They're Trump nightmares. Oh, my God. They're horrifying. Numero uno. I've got this Trump frisbee. I'm on the beach, okay? and I'm sailing the Frisbee, and it's going all over the place, and the wind is picking it up, and it's flying around almost on its own. It's not landing. It's just flying and flying. Delightful, right? Delightful that Frisbee is staying up in the air. It just has a certain physics to it. It just won't go down. And then, finally went down a little up the beach, and I had to go to the beach. Suddenly, there's a cliff of sand. And you have to go up this solid cliff of sand. And as you try to go up, the sand keeps coming down on you. You can't get up there. People up there laughing. And I couldn't get my Trump Frisbee. I just couldn't get it. It was like there was a magical thing that happened where there was this big sand dune suddenly. You know, a vertical sand cliff. So you've seen those, right, from the tide going in and out. And then I was in another dream. I forgot the third one, but this is very bad, very bad. That was very violent, the third one. I forgot that one. But this one was delivering food, and I was in the delivery truck trying to deliver food to myself somewhere, but I was in the, delivery truck, and they weren't able to get the food delivered. It was Trump food. And the other one was very similar. It's just like, it's going along fine. And then all of a sudden there's this monkey. You can't get the Frisbee. You can't get the food. You can't get, away from, things are encroaching. And I suppose that's exactly what happened then today, fulfilling my dreams. The events today of the sanctions on Russia and this whole push. See, they're pushing for this. For January 2, 3, 4, and 5. January 3rd, they're back. Well before Trump gets there. Plenty of time to do a lot of damage. To make sure he's hamstrung. But they've done all this before. Every single thing you can do to a man that has never been done before has been done to this man. Even in my dreams now. How in the world do you live in a world like this? You don't. You know, John McCain walks around with his head up in the air, nose up in the air, and Obama's got his nose up in the air. Who are these? What the hell is this? And the answer is, the public is in the same club. I mean, or at least adoringly looking at the same club. Everyone is praising the New World Order or whatever. And there's a changing of everything. But so they're going to try to throw... No, glue. Okay, so now we've got to get going. Okay. Got to get going. Things are falling apart in here. My feeling is that... these obstacles will be cleared up somewhat before they're planning an out-and-out war against, Trump picks and all that. But I have a feeling he's going to do very well. And I'm just absolutely disgusted with the way these people are behaving and how they're trying to get us into World War III, trying to get us into a nuclear war even now, so before Trump gets there. That would be the ultimate taking up the ass, you know what I mean? The ultimate. The ultimate of evil that has ever been seen and never will be seen again. It's like we have this force of unbelievable angelic fire up against the top dogs of hell. The top, magicians and sorcerers that are in the New World Order. The New World Order is sorcery. So we have that versus the anointed of God. I mean, almost it's coming down to this epic battle. And so my prediction is somehow it gets set to the side. As we keep plowing through it, set to the side. I don't think Pizzagate will resurface again. They've successfully convinced the public that it's just alt-right white supremacists who have come unhinged. They've successfully sidelined it. So that was my first thought. And then I thought maybe not with David Seaman, some of these other people, they've been sidelined too. So that's the end of that. So we go on to, don't expect that to, expect it to be gotten at from the sides, like a judge over here or over there reopens the case. You know, it's going to be asymmetrical warfare on this. You can't go at it directly because pedophilia is the biggest sacrament, the most important thing that the world has ever known in all its life. It's the most important issue that has ever been or ever will be. Why did these people make it the most important issue that should have? You ask them. Ask them why it's so important. Why they would create this fake news. They would sign legislation as the Anti-Propaganda Act that Obama just signed over Pizzagate. I mean, what is so terrifying? You know, it's obviously, from what we've seen, the biggest issue we've ever seen before. From the way they've acted has portrayed it as the worst we've ever seen before. We've never seen anything quite like it. Based on the reaction of people, not based on what I think. You know, I'd like to think that it's some kind of ephemeral issue that's got nothing to do with anything. And, you know, you need to go after the perps. But apparently it's sacrosanct to the extent that they passed laws just because some emails were out that were circumstantial. That was enough to pass laws. So, how important is it? I contend it's the most important issue there is. There is no more important issue other than God, you know, Satan and, you know, the reality, whatever that is. But I would say it's the most important issue there is based on their reaction. Had they not reacted like that, I'd say, maybe it's one of a panoply of issues. But because of the way they have acted, it seems like this is the most important issue there is based on their behavior. I'm not basing it on anything else because I'm not a researcher. I don't look into stuff. I have my experience and my traumas based on dealing with people that are in that club. And we can't get along because I'm not going to go along with it. I mean, obviously, I mean, to any, I think, normal, empathetic human being that has compassion for other human beings would want to protect. It's my instinct to protect our children, to not turn them into sex slaves and prostitutes before they're 10 years old. I mean, I think that's a basic decency that every human being would automatically have, but I guess I'm mistaken. When you see the legislation they're trying to propose for, you know, they're calling them pedosexuals. But see, that's just the surface of it. What about all the human trafficking that goes on where kids don't come home? You know, what happens to them? And then that opens up a whole new world of darkness. And so anyway, that seems to be the what the world is preoccupied with. In the guise of having a world and having your industries and flying in airplanes and tin cans and whatnot. With all this, you know, petty bullshit, it seems that what the real industry of the world is human souls, obviously, and trafficking in innocence and destroying that which is innocent. And I think it's disgusting. It's beyond belief that people that you'd have at your high school graduation would actually be people involved in things like this, and that you'd be you'd be found unaware that people like that, monsters, could be there speaking to you about the virtues of life and being a good citizen and all that, and yet you know what they really are. And boy, it just makes it really tough. That was always my problem. My problem in school was I didn't believe the teachers, you know. I didn't believe the programming. I didn't believe what they were trying to shove down my throat. So I questioned everything like I always do. You know, that's what gets me in trouble. It's my saving grace, maybe, so other people would say. But no, you protect your children in society. You protect your children. You protect your borders. You go by the rule of law. You do as many compassionate things as possible. You have as many people employed as possible. You have safety nets for the poor. You take care of people. You don't just act like, you know, people don't matter. You know, that would be my suggestion, you know, to having a burgeoning society, meaning you'd be God-fearing and God-teaching and certainly teaching about the ethics in the Bible and so on and so forth, and honoring people that pray and having prayer in school and things like that, obviously, rather than a pluralistic solution of, you know, your religion, my religion, our religion, it's all good. No, I think the Judeo-Christian model has worked very well. I think throwing it out was a big mistake, because that's what that opens the door to the pedophilia, see. That, but then that's been there raging the whole time with these fake Christians. So, until that's solved somehow, whatever that is, that equation, until that's solved, we're in danger of nuclear World War III, you know. So my danger zone flag, red flag, is up constantly and permanently, which is why I show up here every day, because we don't know how long we're going to have. So long as, and again, it goes to human trafficking, human 20 on 20, human slavery, and sex trafficking. That's where it all goes to. That's apparently the most important thing to these people that there is. When I say these people, one wonders, why are they still in office? It must be that the people who elected them are also in you know, similarly oriented. Or else they wouldn't elect them now, would they? Or would they just, or do you think they're just ignorant? It's tough. You know, and then the weird thing about it all is then you and I get blamed for being a problem because we ask questions rather than ever dealing with the issue itself. So anyway, as predicted, I don't suggest anyone do any research on the Pedogate or, you know, Pizzagate or any of the rest of it. I suggest you just bury it. Just bury it. Don't hurt yourselves. That's not the way to go. It's going to have to happen in a different way than that. You're not going to be able to do a one-to-one linear solution of exposing it on YouTube, and then it's YouTube buried it all. It is buried deep. Oh, you can find it, but I mean that not the way it was. It is gone, and it's not coming back. And you know, don't be foolish. Don't waste your time. I realize there's an urgency, but a lot of this has to be dealt with by the Lord. There has to be a change in the consciousness of people. You know, I think part of it is these people think that that God doesn't see them. Whatever you do in private, ladies and gentlemen, is seen by the living God. You're not exempt. You're not getting away with it. So if you're harmful to children or cruel to animals is another one that's just amazing. People think there's no way that people are going to find out. Or you're cruel to anything. You know, or we have an institutionalized pedophilia or whatever in with respect to the Franklin cover-up and Hollywood and all that. It needs to be eradicated. If it can't be eradicated, then, you know, you can kiss your ass goodbye. It's very simple. All these are all these issues are connected to one another. Okay? They're all connected. And all I'm saying is, you know, teacher, you know, get your hands off the kids. Quit putting pedophiles in the roles of teaching our five-year-olds. You know, oh, you know who they are. They start teaching sex education and anything but hetero at that age to condition them and to sexualize them and to get them experimenting with each other. But teacher's in the room. By the way, teacher is an adult. Okay, so there you have, boom, right there, Nexus. How much of this are we going to tolerate? I say let the kids experiment with whatever they're going to do. And
No!
No! What do I do now? What do I do now? How do I stop this?
Come on, you guys.
So what you do is...
Come on.
You have the society where the kids are given a chance. You know, they grow up. Of course they're curious. Of course they experiment. They discover love. They have crushes on, you know, kids have crushes on each other at 7 years old. Sure. They also learn office politics pretty early, too, where the one guy's shunned and the other guy gets the girl and the other guy's a nerd over on the side, you know, or like me, you know, I was rejected one second, then they love me, then they put a knife in my back. You know, it goes back and forth like that. But anyway, you sort of learn who you are and how you are. And you don't need adults coercing you into some sort of slavery that says, okay, this is the way to be successful in life. There should be no pedophile path for being successful in life, that children should be offered a path through sex that will lead them to a good life. That is an oxymoron in terms. Okay, that's just my two cents. Maybe I'm old-fashioned, you know. But they're going to be pushing this, even during the Trump administration.
Dasha! Dasha!
The dogs are seeing people outside the RV here, so they're, you know, they're doing what they do. So we're going to wrap it up, but, I mean, a few points. Lord, in Jesus' name, please. Not only expose us to the light, Lord, but please help us eradicate it from our society. Bring the Lord back. Bring you back into our homes, our schools, our consciousness, Father. We need your direction. Otherwise, you see what we do. And I pray that Trump helps in that regard, and that sets a new tone, a new consciousness. Even if the other side hems and haws and complains and goes insane and riots or whatever, I don't care, Lord. As long as we get your decency back in this world, maybe we never had it good enough, but Lord, I pray that it comes back sufficiently that you are not in judgment against us. In Jesus' name, amen. That we can thrive. In Jesus' name, amen. See, I see a direct one-to-one relationship between us thriving as a people. That means people having options with their lives, people not having to work as hard in their lives, people having the options to explore consciousness and see what life is all about. Wouldn't that be good for our kids? To have time to develop, to see what they might like or dislike, or try to ask the big questions about what this is and where they are, without being constantly hammered on and pressured and kind of stuck into a corner where they have to make these impossible decisions, and they want our kids to keep their eyes on this little trail of crumbs. And that leads to more crumbs, but ultimately leads only to crumbs and not to steak, let's say. Wouldn't you love it if we could have a world where we would be free to explore whatever we needed to, for whatever our souls needed to explore? Wouldn't that be something? Rather than hunkered down on defense, being chipped away at piece by piece, chink by chink, and you know, destroyed slowly. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to just set out on a course that you came up with? That something you wanted to do. That's what I'd like for us all. I'd like for everybody to advance and how whatever that means to them. And everyone, you know, to have a chance at some kind of satisfaction and to be able to know the Lord and to know, you know, to learn from mistakes and, you know, to go through the ups and downs and pain and elation of the spectrum of emotions and experiences that people can have. But I would like people to have that rather than be coddled into a very narrow path set by, you know, perverts and fools for the purpose of making sure that nobody blossoms, nobody comes into their own, nobody experiences the fullness of life. They just stay kind of, you know, half dead, half unconscious. They're doing this with nutrition as well. And I just find this to be, well, you know, they said these times would be like this. Now, I think, you know, I don't know that you get it political corruption. I don't think you're going to get it the pedophilia, but you could get it the human trafficking side, which then will touch that. And I think that's more the way to go. To make it more, whenever you bring in this sort of adult child sex thing, people go insane. It's just out damn spot all over the place. I mean, you know, God, it's just terrible, terrible thing. I think you go at it another way through the idea of legislating against human trafficking and investigating human trafficking, which also includes children, adults, slaves of all kinds, men, women, etc., children, and you go at it as a cabal. You go at the whole thing as human trafficking. That's, I believe, the only way you're going to make a difference. Look, I was cheering on the Pizzagate researchers until the government put them in a wall. And then I realized they all got crushed like a bug on the windshield at 70 miles an hour. So I'm like, okay, obviously wrong direction. Well, who knew that it was the most important issue there was? Nobody. Well, they kind of knew, but, you know, it kind of comes and goes, right? To where laws were passed. I mean, that's pretty gravitational, you know, wouldn't you say? Pretty sobering, right? I mean, if you know what's going on, if you know why the legislation passed, people say, oh, fake news, the alt-right white supremacist. No. It was because of Pizzagate that the Anti-Propaganda Act was passed. Please know your history. Follow it back. That's what started it. And then that's where the Cass Sunstein legislation from years and years ago, where you're going to be given, you know, double speak and Orwellian speak. And if you don't say the Orwellian speak, you could get fined $10,000. I think it was Alex Jones who was talking about that the other day. Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, Glenn Beck did a lot to expose the Cass Sunstein policy on linguistics, on propaganda. In other words, if you said getting out in the sun is good for you, you could be fined $10,000, that sort of thing. If you say global warming is a hoax, you'd be fined $100,000 and 5 years of jail. So now they're passing laws like that. Oh, yes, they can round, it's part of the NDAA, so they can round you up and disappear you for saying global warming is a hoax. Absolutely. That all came from Pizzagate. They're barking at kids. They're kids out there. They're here for a vacation here where we are right now. They're here for a vacation through New Year's. We did the most genius thing possible. We went riding around in a heavily trafficked area, you know, heavy in the band area. Rather than what we usually do, which is wander around when in the off season. So I don't know where we're going to be heading. I know where we're going today, but because we're getting kicked out of here. It's just fine. You know, I don't mind. I don't need to. Oh, there goes a bus. There goes a guy. Big diesel pulling out. So I guess it's our turn, right? That's that guy he's going to Lake Havasu. Yeah, he was trying to explain to me about Lake Havasu. Now, Lake Havasu is, it's at the beginning of Arizona on the Route 66. And he was saying there's some good, you know, and I'm like, I don't know. I got to go to some, if I'm going to be on the road over New Year's, you know, everybody's out partying. I got to get away from civilization out to some, you know, middle of nowhere kind of place. And, you know, I've had more fun at those middle of nowhere type places in the middle of the desert, middle of Nevada, you know, where it's, yeah, it's like there's nothing there but dirt, and there's like, you know, the lifers in there, you know, all these old people. Oh, I guess we fit in with that, you know, all these gray heads, you know, who've been living in their trailer. The trailers are falling apart, and the dust and sand is blowing up against them, and they're in their little park, and we come in for the night, and then we move on the next day through these towns that are just fallen towns, you know, they have ghost towns, right? There might be one gas station, the rest of the shops. When you drive through Texas, you get a lot of that. You get a lot of these towns that were there and they're gone. And they're just old storefronts that remain. And you drive through, it really makes you think. You see an Americana that was there before. And I'm fascinated with that sort of thing. So it kind of, not that it feeds my soul, but it makes me, you know, makes me do a sharper podcast for you, for one thing, because I'm really trying all along the road, I'm trying to solve this. There's another one. I just went. Look, I'm trying to live through this period of time, okay? And I'm trying to provide, you know, to do my thing for the Lord, which is this podcast, and to be inspired and to solve problems, you know, like, for example, being sad, being suicidal, being stopped, being squelched, being, you know, thwarted, being, you know, I want to acknowledge that a lot of us feel that way and have been, you know, unfairly too, and all that, but how we then cope with it, you know, and where the Lord is with us in this. And also, I'm having lately to fight off a lot of this idea that there's a lot of people I'm talking to that, you know, they're mad at God right now because they're lonely and they're upset and they're tired and they're sick of it. And then they feel that why can't they have a break like other people? And, you know, they have it much harder than everybody else. And God's secretly punishing them much more than anyone else and totally unfairly and much harsher than they can handle. And what gives? It's not what the Bible's saying. The Bible says, the Lord will only give you what you can handle, not what you can't handle. And so we're getting a lot of that kind of feeling this time of year, which is every year it comes back. Every year this sort of thing just rages. And the devil's, you know, this is the big time for the devil. This week, I hate to even think about all the shenanigans going on this week, but probably a lot of bad things happening this week. Bad things happen between now and New Year's. This is where lots of these guys bite the dust. A lot of people sell their souls to the devil. A lot of initiations, a lot of rituals, a lot of murders, a lot of everything. It's terrible. People say May Day and all that. No, Beltane. No. Now, this time of year is the highest by a factor of maybe, you know, hundreds of percentage points. I mean, it's not even comparable to the rest of the year in terms of satanic ongoings. And some of this also, you know, I'm a bit remiss because a lot of this has to do with, you know, what you call the UFOs and the aliens and all that. That's all involved as well. All the occult is involved. What do you think they're trying to do? They're trying to bring these beings in to our space here and have them rule over us. And that's their crown jewel of the New World Order. I mean, that's their top goal. So let's not lose sight of that, too. Because, you know, I think there could be a rollout in 2017, definitely, of that sort of thing. And then we'll be dealing with that. Today, there was announced that there are deep space signals, could be aliens. That's just basically propaganda to start prepping people to accepting, you know, the presence of aliens. So I think they're getting ready for a big rollout as part of this whole thing. And we'll just see how it goes. Look, all I can do is be a child of God. According to the Satanists, I'm an idiot. You know, I don't know anything, according to them. And I don't profess to know anything. I basically don't want to know what they're into. I know enough, though, to have a warning. Say a little cheer for the folks.
Be of good cheer. Hey, can you clasp this for me?
Clasp that for you? Yeah. Yes. It's... Meanwhile, I'm a slob. We have to make a resolution not to be slobs all of our lives. Or I do. You're not. Hey, this is difficult, Trish.
It is.
I see. It's hard to see. Okay, Trish, you may have now.
Okay, sorry.
I am sorry.
You failed.
You failed.
I failed, then you failed. I will.
Well, okay, so obviously we got to get going because we have we're on the clock here, and I have to just think, oh my God, there's a million things I got to do. It's good because it keeps me, you know, traveling by RV, keeps me running up and down the stairs, keeps me, you know, getting under the coat, twisting, you know, exercising, getting, having to be heads up, you know, mentally keeping track of everything that's going on, because there's a million ways you can screw yourself. You know what I mean? You really are at risk for any of all these things to cascade on you, you know? And right now we have, so that's it. I'm looking forward to being in the desert. I'm looking forward to being away from civilization for a couple of days. And to be, I just need to, like, slow down and think for a minute. You know, I used to cross the desert when I was, you know, like 18, 19. And same thing, I remember I would drive through all the snow. I had a Saab, an old Saab. And I'd drive through that snow with that Saab, and I'd head down toward the 10 in, like, Santa Rosa, New Mexico. That there's like a road blockade there because it gets really icy. And I'd head down from Tucumcari, go straight down to the 10. And right about halfway down, all of a sudden, the snow is gone. And I got down to the 10, I remember. I was staying in this motel down in, I don't know, near Phoenix somewhere. And I turn on the TV, there's this miniseries. It's Betty Davis, The Secret of Harvest Home. And it traumatized me to the point where I couldn't drive anymore. And what was it about? It was about a coven of witches who have this secret coven, this secret world they have, where they commit human sacrifice. And if anyone talks or seeks to bust them, she has these shears hanging on her, and she gouges people's eyes out, cuts their ears off, and she could do worse, if you know what I mean. And the whole thing freaked me out. Like, they made a movie of it. That was like before I even understood that I had rejected that idea that anything like that existed. So it triggered me. And but then the memories and stuff were quickly suppressed again, you know, quickly suppressed again. So I was all put back together as I. Oh, one day I'll write it all up, you know, write it up in a linear format, you know, and all that. I remember that incident, you know. Tucumcari was. I had a weird color. It was like this weird kind of brownish color, Saab. And I really liked it, but it was a three-door model. And I kept cleaning it. So I guess I didn't really love it. I don't know. I kept obsessing on keeping it clean. I think that was like an avoidance of being triggered on the other stuff. You know, and then I went back into denial. I stayed there for another 15 or 20 years. Yeah. sue me. I could not handle the world being what we know it is today to be. I couldn't handle it. I just couldn't handle it. I just wanted the world to be kind of like, well, I don't know, just common sense or just basic kind of like up and down, good and bad. You know, I didn't want it to have all this above the law stuff and to have these, you know, protection of the whole world of things like satanic things. I couldn't handle that because I knew that the satanic things meant murders and, you know, death and rituals and evil, you know, maximum evil. I thought, we can't have that. You can't have that. I can only go back to the Lord and say, Lord, we have that, so what do we do now? And it's kind of like, you stick to me. The Lord wins in the end. He's allowing the evil to be there for now. I have to trust that if he's the author of all this, he can get me through this. He obviously created the evil and the good, both. It's not like the evil came as a response, you know. It's more like he allowed it because you can't have maximum good without maximum evil. You can't have love without hate. You know, we need the whole spectrum here. So I understand it. I'm okay with it now. I mean, I'm not like a child where I say, well, I don't like it, you should get rid of it. You know, wah, wah, wah. I'm not doing that. I'm simply saying that to tip the balance in your favor, one must have an abundance of good countering the evil. We're never going to get rid of evil until the Lord changes the system. I think I'm in agreement with that. At the same time, you know, I see people, like I see people here, you know, and they're, you know, they got their kids and they're teaching them how to ride their bikes. And I saw this one little kid, he was so cute. He was on this little two-wheeler and way younger than when I rode when I finally got to a two-wheeler off the training wheels. But now they're riding these two-wheelers at, I don't know what he was, 3 years old or something? He's riding a two-wheeler on the beach. So then there's another, you know, other kids. And I look at these kids, I'm like, you know, that's cool. Wouldn't it be nice to protect them? Your heart goes out to people. And I see people here, and, you know, they're just dads and moms taking care of their kid, trying to celebrate Christmas and New Year's. And maybe they're all naive about all this stuff. Maybe they're all innocent. Maybe I've overstated it. Maybe there's a few people that know what's going on, but most people don't. I mean, perhaps that's the way it is. Well, I like that theory, but see, then it gets a hole punched in it when I'm in a place in the middle of nowhere, like say I'm in Nebraska or something, or in Texas, and then, you know, in this bowling alley somewhere, in Americanaville somewhere, average people, working class people there, all of a sudden the whole place goes into gang stalking mode. It's like, huh? No. These people know what's going on in the middle of, like, Lubbock, Texas or something? You got to be kidding me. Come on, man. I think I'm sometimes the only one in the world. This whole world is just built exactly the way it is to torture me. It must be, that must be it. But on a serious note, I see some hope now. I see some optimism. I feel optimistic in terms of economics. And economics can help, but it's got to be tempered with morality. You know, you can't have, you know, unbridled decadence and greed. We've gone through that. And then that lends itself back to the system again, right? Because people want, you know, they want more. And the only way they're going to get more is if they join up with stuff they shouldn't be joining up with. So, yeah, we got a lot to do. We got a lot to do. Yes, by staying on the straight and narrow, not meaning you don't sin, not meaning you're not weak at times, not meaning you don't yell at, you know, people you shouldn't yell at, and all kinds of stuff you do. But it just means you're on the other side of that line, on God's side of the line, okay? That's what I mean. That's the whole point. If you can manage to stay on that side of everything, you will do very well. The other side is much like giving up in a relay race. It's like you're running a race and then you step into the infield. And maybe the whole majority of the people have given up and they're in the infield. And so special few that keep on running. Or, if you like, it's like SEAL team, Navy SEALs training, you know? When you've had enough, you ring a bell and they send you home. And they only want the cream of the crop. And they know there's a certain amount of people that are going to ring that bell. And they won't be able to take it. And that may just be what it is. Because people crave success. They crave acceptance. They want to be left alone. They want to have a life. And Satan comes along and says, look, I'll give you all that. You just bow down to me and I'll give you all that. You know? So, with that, I bid you shalom. And I will see you next time. Let us. I'm trying. At least I told you about the Pizzagate thing. You know, I did. You know, not that I want to crow about it. It's a sad thing, but I don't think that's the way to go at it. I think now that that's passed, I think we need to look at a new chapter of busting up the human trafficking. Human trafficking includes all that, right? So that's where our focus needs to be. So I want to refocus this on that. Obviously, Washington, D.C. went nuts when that was brought up, and they started passing laws, which shows me, obviously, somebody touched a raw nerve there. Yes.
Hey, Putin. Putin used his Christmas address to bring up the fact that the Western countries are trying to legalize pedophilia.
Which mainly means... Which is not, you know, heterosexual pedophilia, if you will. I mean, I know that's a weird term, but it's really, you know, it's really, these are the old, if you will, these are the sodomites of old that wanted to get at the, not same sex, it's get at the children that way, because that's the most traumatizing thing you can do to them. And, you know, this is the age-old problem here, you know. Big problem in the Middle East. They accept it as normal. They're absolutely false in doing so. You know, they don't value, you know, women. They don't value children. They look at children and women as property to do with what you want. And that's absolutely the wrong. That is not what God teaches us at all, in any way, shape, or form. So, you know, is it too much to ask to have children grow up and you know, grapple with life? And you know, it's hard enough as it is. And to be able to have develop their own personalities, their own ideas, and their own hopes and dreams, and their own pursuits, and become adults the old-fashioned way through taking responsibility and through learning life's lessons and listening to their parents and who are hopefully God-driven. And, you know, and are taught certain things, but are also shown by their own failures, you know, what's right and what's wrong and get a good solid foundation of that. I mean, and is that so wrong to have kids rooted in common sense and, you know, God-fearing morality? Is that so wrong? What is wrong with that? When you see these people today, young people burning down stuff and rioting when they don't get their way and stuff, you know, this kind of unhinged, you know, unstable behavior being used by people like Soros and other people to create, you know, a unstable environment so that nobody can do anything, so he could be rich and everyone and you could be poor. Come on. This guy needs to go back to, you know, go to trial for Nazi war crimes. People like him need to be off the world stage. And if they're teaching our kids, they need to be fired from school. Is it that hard to do that? Really? If the teachers union objects, then the teachers union needs to be busted in a million pieces. Very simple. I guess I'm what I would be considered ultra right wing because I want to go by the rule of law. Is that a right wing thing? I thought it was an every wing thing. God bless. I have to play my silly song. Here we go.
Get for its spice for your life. You can go.